Amen. Well, I would give you the text. It's John 5:39-40. It's the scriptures for them. You think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. And you will not come to me that you can have life. Father, in Jesus' name, I know that's so true. What Brother Milby said is right. It's a wonderful privilege of mine to make this pilgrimage up this road. I'm sorry I had to wait so long to learn the things. Maybe we all have to. I don't think that's right. I hope we can learn it young. Pray you'll give us a good day today. And I need your help big time, like Brother Pace prays, Lord. It's got to be you. So you please kiss us with the kisses of your mouth today. Help somebody. Help somebody. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. There's two words in Greek about will. Thelemai and boulomai. One of them is a grown in, is a built in will. It's in you. There are things that you just have it in you. There are other things that you study and you arrive at a conclusion, and that's the right thing to do, that will. It's a decided will. The other one is just built in you. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It's just built in God. A lot of the things we do, we have to study to decide about it. And I was going to look it up. I hate electronics in the pulpit.
I do too.
Now, I don't want to bother you if that's what you do.
No.
But I have a cell phone with a good Bible program in it. And I don't go anywhere, but if I hear somebody make a statement, I want to make sure they've said it right. Joel, I don't mean I don't trust you or anybody, but I want to hear it. I want to know what that book says. Because that book is right, always.
Always.
Let me say this. To arrive where I am, you have to make some conclusions and deductions. God has never, ever, ever told you wrong. Now just stop long enough and think about that. He's never told you wrong. Not only is that, but He has never just guided you wrong without speaking to you, just pushed you wrong. If He pushed you somewhere, that's where He wanted you to be, like a chess piece. He's never, ever made a mistake. He will never say to you, I shouldn't have done that.
That's right.
Does not matter what's happened to you. It's very easy to take cancer when you know it's His business. It's not yours.
Amen, Brother Wayne.
Why would you get upset at something that He did? Because He's never made a mistake. Now, that's going to really settle a lot of stuff in your mind. I mean, just quit fussing with Him about it. Lord, I hoped you had... Well, I prayed for Denise a whole lot, that God had healed her. I prayed for my wife. She has problems in her backbone and hip. I've asked God. Well, He said if you... Did He say that?
Yes.
Well, I will that kid would be saved, or I mean, get fixed, and I will that Miss Kathy Jones would... her nerves would make connection and she'd be able to walk again. I mean, I prayed a lot of those things. It did not get answered. Why didn't He answer them? Well, it's not because He can't.
That's right.
It's either because I've asked amiss or He won't. Is that right?
Yes.
Why don't I just sit down and quit? We know that's right. What are you arguing with God about? Boy, I wanted that thing really bad. Well, maybe God didn't want you to have that real bad. It's just how it is. This little crop right here is the cream. I know that I can come here and know that the men that preach have learned to preach. And I don't mean that by learning to preach. I mean by experience.
I know.
You know what's going on. And that's good, isn't it? So I want to take up with this idea here. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. Why don't we just take a little run and run a rabbit here? These rabbits have got divine footprints. You ought to follow them. God didn't put them in your mind. Devil didn't put them in there. That's exactly right. Search the Scriptures. He said, blessed is the man that walketh, standeth, or sitteth not, and you know, da, da, da. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Well, one of the biggest things you ever did is figure out what the law of the Lord is. It's not a revised standard. It's not a Catholic Bible.
Amen.
That's the whole bottom line. If they're going to modernize the King James, they're going to modernize it with a Catholic Bible. I don't want no Catholic Bible.
Amen.
I don't want somebody else interpreting what the Bible says to me. And that's what that is. That is. It is not. This is what their philosophy was. It's not what he said. It's what he meant. So we're going to write down what he meant. I don't want you to tell me what he meant.
Amen.
It's like he said, the Holy Ghost is a whole lot better at that than he is, or whoever it is.
Amen.
And so he says he delights, his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. You're not going to do that unless you make your mind up to do that. Think on it. He said, pray without ceasing. Can't do that. Oh, yeah, you can.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I go to sleep praying and I wake up praying.
Me too.
And pray all between the two. That's right. Honestly, look here. I'm a mechanic, a welder. I'm everything. But a preacher. I'm not much of a preacher. I mean, I'm a certified welder. Stress steel welder. But I stuck that stinger to that metal and it would not work. I said, what in the world is wrong? You can't make your life work. You need help. But I closed them stinking eyes and said, Lord, I don't know what's going on right here. But you got to help that thing stick, and it'll stick. Grind all the garbage off. Do it right. God will bless it. There it is. You understand? It's just, I want you to understand your life is bound up in Him. So, lately, this is really your life, but if I drop something, I'm a smart aleck. I'll say, yep, that's what I wanted to do. Drop it right there on the ground. Hunt that screw. I still ain't found that screw. It's laying in the gravel. It's about that long. It's still there. It'll be in my tire next time if I don't watch it. I say, yep, that's what I wanted to do. I hear that little boy say, smart aleck. He said, what did you expect it to do? You turned it loose, pushed it off the edge of the bench. What did you expect it to do? Gravity will make it fall. It happened to be gravel right there. What did you expect it to do? I said, well, Lord, you're right. The only thing that would have stopped that from falling and going in that gravel and I couldn't find it would be a miracle. Because the law says if you push it off the table and the gravity's working, it's going to fall. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Transfer that to the Bible. The wages of sin. What'd you expect? The law says you sin, you pay. So do the flesh. Oh, I'd hope we wouldn't reap corruption. Oh, no, the law says if you sow the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. What do we expect?
Right.
Go ahead and drink. I went to Hardin Memorial one morning, one night, when I got out of school down here at Campbellsville, corruption or something, whatever it is. This guy swelled up like a pregnant woman, cirrhosis of the liver, drank all his life. I went in, nudged his bed, said, your buddy told me to come by and see you. He wants me to pray with him. He said, I'm hurting too bad right now, preacher. Go on. So I went on. It's dark. I said, I'll be back tomorrow. Went back the next day, same thing. That night he died and went to hell. What'd you expect him to do? He sucked liquor down his gut all of his life. What'd you expect? Young lady, you married a guy who's a rebel. What do you expect for him to beat you,
Amen.
Slam you against the walls, and act like you're some kind of an animal? What do you expect?
Amen.
He's working on me right there, Brother Roger. You drop that socket, it rolls. You know where it rolls? It rolls in the most impossible place in that garage you can find. You got to get a long stick, and when you dig around under God, about 9 times out of 10, it'll flop over in the drain hole, and now you have to move the car, pull the plug up out of the rain hole, and get the thing out. What'd you expect it to do? Don't that make sense? So why you blow up at everything? You drive too fast, well, you're going to get a ticket. I came over that hill in Somerville, West Virginia. I had my car set. It was 10 miles too fast. I didn't know that. It was that blue Cadillac. I come over that hill. I was driving right on the speed limit. They put that speed limit sign about 100 feet past top of that hill, and all of a sudden, you're driving the speed limit. Come over top of that hill. It's going to take off faster, and right through that speed limit sign I went, it's 45 mile an hour off of 55 or 60 or whatever it was. There he sat right there. Pull me over. Give me a ticket. And listen, I broke down and cried. I done that's the second one I had on the same trip, same place. What'd you expect to happen?
Yeah.
I called my wife. I said, honey, I'm going to quit driving. She said, just pay the ticket and forget it. Well, that's a, you know what a wife is? She's a guy wire. G-U-I wire. She holds her guy up. It's a wonder how they put that together like that. My wife, she's struggling, but she's doing pretty good holding me up. Let me talk to you about this. This verse says, you will not come to me. If they couldn't have come, why did he say it? If you couldn't come to him, why did he say you could? They will not. So I want you to think about this. I preached on it. I don't know if I can get it like I want it because I don't really have my papers with me. But I do have, but I don't have right. Number one, you think about the people that would if they knew, but they don't.
That's right.
So that's why we have missions. And what is missions? It is not stuffing a track in their face.
Amen.
Now, there's nothing wrong with giving somebody a copy of Scripture, whether it's five verses or whatever it is. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
It's when you expect them to do this on their own and they can't do it on their
Amen.
Own.
Amen.
But when you hear His voice unto God, you ought not harden your heart.
Amen.
As in a provocation when they did that and they paid for 40 years. What do you expect to do? What do you expect? You know, and I think this, I believe this, and I thought me and Tossie, we read the Bible together for the last 10 years. Is that right, Tossie? I can't see. I don't have my glasses. Okay, she says yes. Hey, I can't use yours. Don't try me no. Oh, I thought you were going to give me some. I can't see through nobody's glasses. We read it about 10 years together, and we read it by a dramatized version of the Bible on my cell phone. And you, if you don't read every verse, you cannot say you read the Bible through. Is
Amen.
That not right?
Amen.
You have to say Meher Shalah Hashbaz yourself. You can't let him say it.
Amen.
I knew one guy. He called Bartimaeus blind Barbanilla. He tried anyway. Every word, I read every word of a King James Bible about 45 times. Every last word.
Amen.
She and I have done that. We do know what that Bible says. We have tried this together. Now we come to chapters and we'll say, oh honey, I don't want to read this. David threw his life away. Or Achan. Heard about Achan. By the way, I'm going to tell you what, it don't offend me because he mentioned them open-toed shoes. That don't offend me. I'm going to tell you what else don't offend me. I remember a day when Joel Hyde, when if a man used hairspray on his hair, he'd be the laughing stock for a month.
Now we got men's hairspray. So you understand that we move a little bit at a time, but it don't take but 180 of them moves to put you going the other way. We let up, we give up. We cave in to pressure. Social pressure. Well, I don't want them mad at me. I mean, it's, well, hey, you know what else too? This come to my mind. If you'll take your eyes off of them and put your eyes on Jesus, it won't bother you if they don't like you.
Amen.
Don't bother me. You think I didn't come up the road the back way? Do you not know that I'm the laughing stock of that university down there? If they could remember me. I made top grades too. But they were wrong, and I was right. So I went the other way, and I'm still the other way.
Amen.
So here's what I want to say to you today. There are people, they need to know, and they don't know. And because they don't know, they won't. They won't get right with God.
Amen.
And we have churches full. Hey, how can a preacher lead a church further than he's been? You cannot do it.
Amen.
You can't. So it behooves us to learn about God in His deeperness, His depth. It's going to blow your mind to find that God is never against you if you're saved.
Amen.
It's never going to, He's not ever going to be mad at you when you're, if you're saved and you mess up, He'll just back up and let you blow it away. And when you get over it, He'll pick you right up in kind and tender hands, pull you to Him and said, son, I had to let you learn your lesson. Say, you can't stay out of God's will 10 years. Oh, write your own book, buddy. I got mine. I don't know how long God will let you stumble and stagger through the mess of this life before you finally figure out that His way is the only way. You can't write nothing up and say this is the way God works. Sometimes you'll never know. Some things you'll never figure out.
That's right.
But I know this much right here, buddy. We're bound up in society so bad that if you knew, really, you think I'm bragging. I'm not bragging, Brother Milby. This was a long journey for me. And this is how I did. I don't know how you're going to do. But when I got around the real thing, I said, I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was something there that I didn't know anything about. So I said, I'm going to stay real close to this and keep my mouth shut until I can see plainly that this guy's on the right track. You know, I told a fellow, Brother Allen's, I said, if you didn't run your mouth so much, wouldn't anybody know how stupid you are? Best to be quiet. It is. I've read devotion books and I like them. I read them. But you can hear the same thing over and over. You buy every one of them. Streams in the desert. Buy them all. Buy them all. About 9.5 times out of 9 3/4, they're going to tell you the same thing over and over and over.
That's right.
Only every now and then you find somebody that's ventured out in the wilderness of the glory of God.
Yeah.
And they found out God. I said, listen, when God opened my eyes to love, I said, this is not you. I said, this can't be you. I fell in love with her. I don't know if she's ever figured it out yet. I mean, I'm talking about puppy love crazy. She can't, I'm telling you now, I'm not henpecked. It wouldn't bother me if I was. I love her. But just a week or two after that, I was over on that same dam. I took him over there and we hunted for driftwood. I walked down that dam on them big rocks and I was stable then. I can't do it no more. Them big old rocks, see, I'm shaking right now. I'd take a stick and I'd go to this rock and I'd pray and go to the next rock and pray. And I'd go all the way down to that end of that dam. Every now and then I'd see a pretty piece of driftwood and I'd throw it up on the side and come back and pick them up. But on this day, I'm struggling with this love of my wife and the love of God being a parallel. And I'm just struggling with that. And that day I carried my Bible with me, which I know what's in the Bible. Listen a minute. You go get your Bible and you hunt God in a verse. Why don't you leave it alone and let God hunt you in a verse? Just leave your, if you don't know it, you're going to have to carry it.
Yes.
But if you've read your Bible and you've got any memory at all, you can just drift along and God will say, boom, and you'll have to get a concordance to find out where he's at. I mean, I know I'm right now. So I had my Bible. It was a little pocket Bible I had ever since I was a welder. I had it in my pocket, and I got around to the vent pipes that are up on that dam. I don't know what they're venting out of there or what, but they're up there on the other side of the guardrail. I got right there. And I said, Lord, is this you? Pull that Bible open. It said, Zion, be not afraid. I did not hunt the verse. I just opened the Bible. They make fun of us doing that.
That's right.
But there's a divine hand, buddy, that knows where to put your thumb.
Yeah.
You can put it out of your mind if you want to. But everything you do, if God has to do it.
Right.
I pulled it open. There it was. It is I, be not afraid. I shut it up and I said, Lord, I cannot go on one verse. You've got to give me another verse. I pulled it open to another gospel. It said, it is I, be not afraid.
Amen.
There's four times in that Bible. He said, it's me. Don't be afraid. Buddy, I shut that Bible. I need two witnesses. I've been in all my older ministry, my maturing life. Two witnesses. I shut that Bible, put it in my pocket, climbed over that rail. There laid a green Coca-Cola cap in the dirt. I stomped it in the verse and in the ground, and I said, "That's a marker. Say right here is where I established my Ebenezer. For here hath the Lord helped me." Then I knew that my best friends would turn against me because I wasn't tearing hides anymore. Oh, my, I could embarrass the devil, honestly. I was so rough. I said, well, I'll lose all my friends. One of my friends called me and he said, did you say this? I said, I did. I said, I know who told you. And I said, I'd leave everybody I've got, including my wife, for what I've learned about him.
Amen.
You may not believe that. I don't care what you do or not. The greatest love I've ever had is the one that showed me them two verses. I took him at his word. I was out there driving. I'm crying for him to get in the car. He said, I'm always in this car, buddy. I don't care where you are. I'm on you. You can't get in a beer joint and run me out. I'll go in there with you. He's the hound of heaven. You can't do anything to run him off, Stephen. You can't do anything. He may be quiet, but he ain't leaving. He said, I will never. And you have to take him at his word. He said, never. Lo, I'm with you always. It ain't no maybe. Say, are you here? You don't even have to ask. So if that's the case, me and you are walking together, Brother Milby, I've got to always be conscious of me and you being together.
Yeah.
We went on that dam, didn't we?
We did.
He was looking for them pieces of wood and he was having a good time, and I done been down them woods. I loved them. Boy, listen, there's a sermon in that driftwood. That was a healthy tree one time, and it took a whole lot of beating to get it down till I wanted it on myself somewhere with a flower stuck on it. It was wore out. That tree said, what are you doing, God? I'm falling in the lake. I'm a healthy tree. What are you doing? Poof. Minutes drug down through the rocks. The limbs broke off. Lord, what are you doing? I'm losing my limbs. I had life, and I ain't got no life. What are you doing? Comes to the dam, goes down to them generators, and tires it all. Oh, what are you doing? Two or three years, it comes floating out, and the water gets up and goes back down. There it lays, right there. It's about that big. It's the prettiest little piece of wood you ever saw. Took a lot of stuff to make you pretty. You understand what I'm telling you?
Yeah.
You ought to yield to him. You're not in a place that don't tell you how, where, what, and all of it. What I know it real good. I may not be back here. I'm telling you, there's things going on in my body that I had a bad day after I preached yesterday. I have liver cancer, which deals with your gallbladder, which I don't have. And we think I had a gallstone in my bile duct the other day, and it was horrible. It's way worse than a pancreatitis or something. I don't know what it was. Well, I started hurting yesterday after I got done preaching. I thought, oh, here it is again. But it went away. Hallelujah. And I feel like preaching today. I'm not sick. But you understand that God, you understand that God is in everything. This statement I made is, you would if you knew, but you don't. But you cannot plead guilty in this building here. Are you listening? If you hear His voice, don't throw up the shields. Robin, don't throw up the little building. Don't throw up the wall. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. As in the provocation, when they hardened their hearts and they were turned out of the glory world for 38 more years.
That's right.
Amen. And their kids got the privilege to go into a place that they could have went in. So, they would if they knew. Well, I hope they would, Roger, if they knew. But they don't know. But you can't plead guilty. Surely you can't plead guilty after this song. These wonderful words of life. I mean, God, I'm going to tell you, that old prophet said, bring the minstrel. So music ain't out of the game.
That's right.
It gets me ready to worship. So you go to the next one. He said, you do know, but you won't do it. He said, you do know, but you will not. See, now we have another set of people. You will not. You could if you would, but you won't. See, kids, you don't have to live the punk's life. You could live, you could start. I was 20 years ago I learned about the love of God. It's a wonderful thing to learn. It's like heaven on earth. I said, Lord, I don't think you can give me all I want. I know that's not true, but I want to tempt Him about it. Tease Him about it. So many things to know about Him. But you have to start on this journey. If you start on a journey, you're going to find out it's a whole lot bigger than you thought it was.
Yes,
it's sweeter than sweeter as the days go by. To know Him, I just saw that song in some of my notes. To know Him, it's a secular song. It's a little girl that fell in love with a boy in her school. And she sung the song, to know Him is to love Him. And I do, and I do, and I do. Turn that into a spiritual thing, Larry, to know Him. Why'd you get up and act like that silly, crazy crying yesterday when them people were singing? To know Him is to love Him.
Amen.
And I do, and I do, and I do. It's what it says. You look it up on Google, it'll tell you the words. They don't all apply, but them first two verses do. You see, the reason why you're not going to have revival is because you won't do it. You can have it. Here's what happened to me. I wanted to say this yesterday, and I got nervous. I always get nervous. I'm nervous right now. It says in the Bible, He said He seeks for those who will worship Him in spirit, little s, and truth. Right? For the Father seeketh such to worship Him who will worship Him in spirit and truth. John 4. Little s. What does that mean? That means it's your heart to worship Him. It's my heart to worship Him. You know how long I've been praying that, Philip Vandeveer? For 20 years. I say, I want to worship You. Buddy, He pulls the blinds up and the fire flies and the light shines. And I get to just, and I don't, Brother Milby, I don't want to offend nobody, but I just cry. I just cry. I watched that movie and that girl fell. I didn't know what I was watching, honestly. I don't know. I don't like movies. But this sailor was leaving on a big old flat top, you know, one that where you plan planes on it. He was leaving, and she's standing on the bank, and she's crying, and this old woman made a statement to her, something about her crying, and she said, "Me cry for happy." Boy, that's stuck in me since I was about 11 years old. Me cry for happy. I mean that today. I cry for happy. I sat back there and bawled and cried while this preaching was going on. I love to hear him preach. I just cry. I wanted to jump up yesterday, Brother Milby. Maybe I quenched the spirit. I want to jump up and say, let's all just get down on the altar and worship him a while. He just loves it. You think he smiles when you do that? I believe he does, Ronnie. I believe he says, "That's my children. Look at them. Look at them down there." Boy, I'm going to beat the devil's ears off of that little crowd right there. I'm going to pull them out of this world, buddy, and I'm going to rip a hole in the atmosphere that the devil can't ever get over. Ain't that right? I wish I'd learned younger, though. I really do. So you have these two. You have they would if they knew, but they don't. Then you have they could if they would, but they won't. You could have victory. You could learn to pray.
Yeah.
You could learn how to interpret Scripture. You understand there's more said than read.
Yeah.
Robin's talking about writing music. I said, "Buddy, God has kissed me with kisses that everybody ought to hear. Here's one. He saw this day, that day. What are you going through? Denise, what are you going through, you and your mom and whoever else is in a malady? He saw this day, that day. You was just sailing along with your head blurred back, doing good, but he knew down the road somewhere a tornado was going to hit your life. So he saw this day, that day." That'll make a song. You know it would. And so you understand today that there's you can get what you want. Just pray. I said, "Lord, I want to worship you." He'll use a different method to make me worship than he will you. You know what he does to me? Now, I heard the man, I sit right here, I guess, the fellow preached before somebody, made a statement that he will, I know, you did, took the broom and covered the trails. Well, that worked for you, but it don't work for me. I want to see that step that I made that was so devilish wrong and hear him say, "I loved you anyway, though. I love you right now. I know what you did, but that's all under the blood. I love you. You need to know what a mess you have been, and I do." So I like to see them steps and lay in that recliner and cry for hours for the love of God. It's better than paradise. It's better than the Garden of Eden could have ever been. One more. There's a day coming when you would if you could, but you can't. That's that rich man. I'm going to tell you, you better listen to me. There's a day when you'd give, listen buddy, you'd break in Fort Knox Gold Vault and take all that money out of that gold vault, and you'd succeed in it if you could just buy one more minute of invitation when you could respond to God and say yes. That's what Wesley said. He said his preachers ought to be people that were let out of hell for 1 hour or something. He said they'd teach you what preaching is. Brother Messick, how far are you from the day when the door slams shut and what you have done is done and there can no more be done? How close are we? You know why I'm, Brother Milby, you know why I'm able to preach? It's not because I beg to live. I don't do that. O land of rest for thee, I sigh, when will that morning come? When I can lay this armor by, this junk pile of garbage by, and dwell with you at home. You know why I'm still preaching? Because there's somebody in this place needs it. And he said, "You go up there and tell them now.
Listen,
there may be one." He's interested in one. He went through Samaria to get one, standing at a well, a skank that he loved. He's after you too, buddy, right now. Come unto me. got those hands out. I don't see no hands. That's because you're blind. But if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Pay attention. He's trying to pull you somewhere. Just like He pulled me when I stand near Him. I said, He knows something I don't know. There's something going on here. And I followed those little things to right here. To right here. When I got right with God, I was 25, I think. I just like the guy, I hate truck driving. I put my foot all the way to the floor to take off. And when I want to stop, I put my foot all the way to the floor to stop. And they neither one work like I want them to. That's why I hate truck driving. But I've never took my foot off the floor from the day I got right with God, 25 years old. I'm 77. That's 52 years if I calculate right. My foot's been on the floor of the gas, and I've never put the brake on once. And I'm not satisfied today with what I know. I want to know more. When He walked up to that bear and got that kid by the hand and pulled him off of there and put life back in him, I ain't never done that. He said that blind man received his sight. 38 years in this case. Silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I thee. That ain't happened to none of mine. Me, I don't think. But you know, I'd hate to die and not be able to get every bit of that power that He can put in me, Ronnie Jones. I'm not going to brag about it. It's Him. If He can find a way to execute His glorious will through your unfit, unworthy hands, if He could just find a way for you to get broken down and humble, I'm going to tell you this, I got to quit. But smart alecks, no.
Amen.
No smart alecks. You read Apostolic Fathers, the first church was 100 A.D. after John died. J.B. Lightfoot wrote down the conclusion of what that first church did. First thing, no smart alecks. Amen. Put him on the road.
Amen.
I told a great preacher, he had a smart aleck in the pulpit. I said, that ain't going to do you right.
Amen.
It's going to hurt you. Yeah, just because people like smart alecks don't make her right. I wonder today, I don't know if I've said everything I supposed to, but I've tried to. I wonder today if there's a possibility that I've spoken something that will help you and you would come to the altar. What's an altar for? An altar is where things die. You die to what you thought and resurrect to what He has told you. This is what I'm going to do. The day God said, I am with you always, I have never treated Him like He's somewhere else again. Because it was my will to have Him.
Amen.
I willed to change my life. So I laid that old way on that altar. Never to pick it up again. Why don't you come today to this altar? If you're lost, you're going to stay lost until you make your mind up. You're going to seek the Lord while He may be found. Call Him while He's near. Huh? Why don't you come today? Say, Lord, I want to know Your will for my life. You don't have to know. Just let Him move the pawn. Move the pieces. He'll put you right where He wants you. I probably should have never pastored a church. But He let me. And I did learn a lot, Brother Larry, on that deal. They did too. So let's stand together. Bow our heads. I've given you the very best that I have. And I have no fear that I will never be back here. Things inside of me is not going to let me go on forever. One day it's going to be over. But I can say that I have put the mail in the box the best I know how. I'm not holding back nothing, Junior. I give you everything I have in that mailbox. If you don't do anything with it, I can't help that. But I can help what I put in your mailbox. So why don't you pray? Father, in Jesus' name, could You reap a harvest out of this crowd? Could You bring to Your precious bosom those that are struggling on the verge of something? Just pull a little harder. Just speak a little kinder. Just keep pulling. And they'll do what I did. They'll take one day, they'll say, is this You? And then they'll walk, they'll cross that guardrail and say, from this day on, yes. Oh, I pray you'll help. In Jesus' name, bless this man of God that could never, ever in a book write down the things that he has meant to me and these men that stand here that love him like I do. I pray you'll bless him and his wife, his precious wife. Oh, help her. Help her, I pray. And thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, put your